This is the Jazz McKay Program, 1560 AM, 97.7 FM, KNZR, on a mundane afternoon with Dr. Mensink from The Practice. How you doing, Doc?
We're doing fantastic.
Good to see you. Good to see you. So what's going on? What's going on? What's the haps? What's happening over at The Practice?
What's new? Boy, you caught me off guard. I've been on vacation for the last week, so
Don't know. You haven't even been to the office yet. Where did you go on vacation?
Went up to northern Canada. Well, actually, eastern Canada, to Newfoundland, just across from Labrador.
Yeah.
A place where there's no cell phone service, no iPhone, computer service. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Nothing up there, huh?
Wonderful people.
How about TV?
Yeah, TV.
Okay, then fine. Yeah. I'd have something to do. If I don't have a computer or cell phone service, at least I've got cable. So that would be at least I have something to do.
But, you know, the interesting thing up there,
what's the weather like up there?
It was, they had the hottest day while we were there. It was 88.
Oh, wow.
And everybody thought it was very hot. We were sitting there just wondering if we needed sweaters kind of thing, you know. But it was wonderful. Wonderful people. The weather was really great, and just wonderful people. Seriously.
Now you lived up in up there in
British Columbia, more Western
BC.
Western
Canada. Mm-hmm, yeah.
But
so how much time did you spend up there?
About a week, a little bit less than a week. Mm-hmm. It was nice.
Very cool.
Very nice.
So you got home and
crashed
out. How long of a flight?
Well, it's about three and a half hours from Newfoundland to Toronto, and then about another 3.5 hours to Toronto to LAX. In fact, from Newfoundland, it's closer to fly to London than it is to Toronto.
Really?
Yeah, you don't think of that.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
It's amazing.
That's pretty cool. So anyway, listen, I wanted to thought we would talk a little bit this afternoon about heart conditions, heart attacks, and prevention of heart attacks.
Yes, there are lots of neat things. Probably what should we go over is that there's about 8 different ways that you can prevent heart attacks that are doctor things and things you can do yourself. And then there's 5 things that I'd like to go over, Jazz,
mm-hmm.
That you can do as natural blood thinners to help you to prevent heart attack. And they're neat. They're good. Probably the 8 things are, first of all, if you quit smoking. Smoking alone doubles the risk of heart disease.
You're going to ride me about that forever, aren't you?
It's been a hard time. Improving your cholesterol levels, and if you have cholesterol greater than 200, mm-hmm. HDL less than 40, HDL is good, by the way. The higher it is, the longer you live. LDL is greater than 160, triglycerides over 150. All those are risk factors for heart disease and put you at a higher risk. You need your blood pressure controlled. Most of people in their 40s, 50s, they're not aware of what their blood pressure is. And what we recommend is just go to your local pharmacy and they'll take it for free.
They've got one of those little wrist things at home.
Yeah. Just make sure you know what it is, all right? And if it's high, then you need to see a doctor. Getting active. Being active lowers the risk of heart disease.
It's so hard, though, in this heat.
Well, we tell a lot of our patients, what we tell them is to go walk over in the mall, but then they shouldn't buy everything in the mall.
Well, that could be a problem.
But that's a good option to do that. There's other ways of doing it, no morning or evening. Getting your BMI or basic metabolic index, that's how heavy you are for your height, getting that under 30 is a risk reducer. If you have any glucose intolerance or diabetes, the risk just goes logarithmic. The higher your hemoglobin A1Cs are. You get a hemoglobin A1C of above 9, 10, 11. It's like just waving a red flag to the bull of heart disease, come and get me kind of thing. Eating a healthy diet is good. We all know those kind of things. But there's 2 things a lot of people don't realize that are correlate with heart disease. Number 1 is stress.
Mm.
Number 2 is anger. And there's a very good, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger kind of thing. And there's a reason, let it go. And that's probably hard for a lot of people, especially us males, when we get ticked off about something.
Yeah, I'd say when you hear things, I mean, like the story about the cop in Louisiana, that just pisses me off.
Yeah.
There's people like this exist. And you know, I think, can't anger be something positive? Can't that?
Well,
a good thing?
I don't think anger is bad, by the way. I think long, repressed anger is bad, and I think that anger that you don't let go after a day, I think is bad. All right.
So somebody, let's say...
Anger is a normal part of living.
Carries a grudge.
Yeah, that's bad. Oh, bad, bad.
So somebody...
In fact, they've done studies, Jazz, about bitterness,
mm-hmm.
Which is really a grudge. If you have bitterness in your life, I mean, the effects on your immune system is just, it's sort of like just being depressed. The effects on your immune system, it just drives it down in the basement, and you get all these other illnesses and inflammatory conditions. Every time you have an inflammatory process, in fact, we now know that the basic driver behind heart disease is an inflammatory process, and it's the inflammation in the vessels caused by whatever these things that cause this inflammatory process that makes the blood to clot around it and cause a heart attack or a stroke. So all these things that increase inflammation in your life are bad for you.
I used to see, you know, like in the movies, television shows years ago, back in the 60s, they'd have some guy screaming, and the boss, typical boss character, yelling at the employee, and then boom, he drops dead of a heart attack.
It doesn't happen very often.
Doesn't happen like
in the
that?
Movies. In the movies.
Only in the movies. But the anger, I know what you're saying, because you see, that's gotta drive your blood pressure right through the roof. I mean, anger, I think, is a good thing. Not necessarily a bad thing, but
anger used properly is good. All right, it's a natural part of living.
But get on with it.
Where you really get in trouble is repressed anger. Number two is bitterness or holding grudges long term. Mm-hmm. Just disastrous.
Yeah.
People who I saw a patient about 2 weeks ago that's been he had a job, and make a long story short, he was fired from that job because the boss was involved in some criminal things that were bad.
Well, the business closed down.
And, well, the business didn't close down, but he tried to say, hold her, this isn't right, what's going on? And they fired him, and he lost his job, he couldn't get another job, now he's working in the oil fields, but has tremendous bitterness and anger about that. And if you look at his health history, he was doing fantastic. He's a young guy in his late 30s. Those 6 years after he wouldn't forgive and let go of that problem, his health just went to hell in a handbasket. And it's just,
Did he recognize the correlation?
No, he didn't.
He didn't even know.
No, and he had been to doctor after doctor, probably about five or six different doctors over the last 6 years. Nobody twigged what's going on. And it's just like circling the drain. You try one thing, another thing happens. And I sat down with him for about an hour and a half and went over and said, listen, your basic root issue is that you've got an anger problem and a bitterness problem. You haven't forgiven this jerk that did what he did. And you're not going to get better. And we talked about that a long way. And in fact, when he walked out of the appointment, he says, Doc, you're the first doc that's ever made sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you don't solve those issues, Jazz, they come back to haunt you. Maybe not heart disease, but it just disaster.
Well,
they're negative emotions.
It's hard to get past something like that. I mean, this guy destroyed his life.
Yeah. You got to, and it's easy to, you know, it's not easy to turn around. Okay, that's hard, you know, hard work to do to let go of those things, but vital, vital.
KNZR. Doing the work that other conservatives are afraid to do. It's Jazz McKay on 1560 AM and 97.7 FM, KNZR.
Welcome back to the Jazz McKay Radio Extravaganza. This is 1560 AM, 97.7 FM, KNZR. 399-1560 is our phone number. If you've got a question or a comment, if you want to talk to Dr. Mensing here from The Practice, prepaid family medicine with a difference, The Practice, give them a call at 871-3300. That's The Practice number, 871-3300, 871-3300. $69 a month, you get unlimited access to the staff and the doc at any time you need them. And we're back with Dr. Mensing to talk about, again, preventing heart disease, preventing heart attacks.
Yeah, well, Jazz, you know, there's heart attacks and strokes occur when you get a clot.
What's the difference?
Between a heart attack and a stroke?
Yeah.
Yeah, heart attack is you're killing heart muscle. A stroke, you're killing brain tissue. That's a simple one. But essentially, most heart attacks and strokes occur from one simple reason. What they occur with is that they essentially you get a clot forming in the vessel. You occlude the blood supply to that area of tissue, and essentially that tissue starts to die. That's a heart attack or a stroke the same way. So what happens, you want to keep your blood thin. In fact, that's why we use aspirin, Coumadin, Xarelto, all these kind of things. But there are five natural ways that you can thin your blood to help heart disease without seeing a doctor. The first one is rather surprising. But if you donate blood regularly, in fact, there's a Danish study that if you donate blood regularly, at least four times per year, literally, you lower your risk of a heart attack by 88%.
No kidding.
That is, oh
wait,
my
wait,
God.
Wait, what does that do?
Well, we don't know.
I love it when you say that.
We don't know.
I don't have any idea.
But there are some postulates. Okay, we know that the thicker the blood is, that has to do with what's called hematocrit. The lower you raise, right, you put your hematocrit, the thinner the blood is. So by getting rid of some of those red cells, your body has the time to make up with those. Literally, what's happening is you're lowering your hematocrit temporarily, and essentially it's thinning the blood. Mm. So it's, I look at it, it's good to help Hauchin Blood, you know, and our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number two, it doesn't cost anything, all right? It may a bit of time to do it.
You get an orange juice afterwards, yeah. Sometimes a cookie.
Yeah, and number three, they do a few screening tests like cholesterol, things like that. It's good to know. So I think it's a win-win for society and for the person. But literally, one study, 88% decrease. Mm. On people who donated blood regularly. You know, and there's people that have postulated, we don't really know this, this isn't really proven, but there's people that have postulated that one of the mechanisms of why menstruating females never get heart attacks is because their blood is being thinned by losing the blood.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The second thing is you want to keep well hydrated, and a lot of to make sure your blood is thinner. A lot of people make a mistake with this. And what they try to do is they try to instead, the typical thing, I drink so many cups of coffee, or I drink so many sodas or whatever. Remember this, if you want to keep hydrated, it has to be water. Any solution that has water with something else in it, it increases the osmolarity of that drink, and it literally dehydrates you and makes you lose more water. So if you have a glass of lemonade, you're not hydrating yourself up. You are literally losing, because the osmolar pull from that makes you lose more water in the long run.
What about Crystal Light, some of those diet things? Same thing? I'll be darned. I did not
same
know
thing.
That.
So you want to drink pure water.
I just want to put some flavor in it, Doc.
Well, you know, so I've had people call in. I think we talked about this before, but putting, you know, these different kinds of flavoring in. I don't really know if they do any difference or not. A third thing is garlic. A lot of people don't realize that, but garlic decreases platelet aggregation, just like an aspirin will.
Right?
And makes the blood thinner. Fish oil, omega-3s, simple fish oils, make the blood less sticky and thick. And one thing I would caution, if you're on Coumadin, the blood thinner Coumadin or warfarin, you have to, if you're going to take fish oil, you need to let your doctor know, because it can interfere with the clotting. In fact, all of these things can interfere with clotting. Mm-hmm. So you should let your doctor know, and you need to be tested more regularly. You know, this isn't something for a person on Coumadin to do on their own kind of thing.
Because
you can kill yourself, literally, if you're not careful. Another thing, vitamin E. And it doesn't take very much vitamin E, about 100 milligrams. But there was a retrospective study of 26 different countries in the world where the vitamin E intake, average vitamin E intake, and was correlated with heart disease. And every country, the higher the vitamin E levels intake, the lower the heart disease risk, and vice versa. And it takes about, if you take about 100 units of vitamin E daily, all right, of the natural alpha tocopherols, it lowers your risk of heart disease by a third in some studies.
Now, what's the difference between a unit and a milligram?
Unit is just we check vitamins by units usually,
okay,
international units. But 100 units, that's not very much vitamin E, by the way.
Now, what's in the average vitamin E cap?
You can buy them, hundreds, 200s, 300s, you know, anywhere. But that's amazing. Little things like this that you can do to make a major difference in your clotting ability.
Let's run through those again real quick.
Donating blood.
Donating blood.
Keep yourself well hydrated with water.
A lot of water, not Gatorade.
Yeah, garlic. All right.
Italians doing good.
So. Yeah, right? That's true.
Italians, they have lower incidence of heart attacks. Yeah. I did not know that until I just now said it. There you go.
Vitamin E. All right. And all of them help. And they're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Very much. Very much. I love the cheap stuff. Let's go to, you can get those. You can get it at a 99 cents only store.
Probably, I'm sure.
Yeah. Joe, how are you this afternoon, bud?
I thought I was doing well to just now.
That's a bad sign.
Doc, since March 30th, 2 years ago, I've had three heart attacks, Hunta virus, and a slight stroke, and pneumonia. Now, they tell me the heart attacks were because of platelets. Everything started March 30th. I'm wondering, I guess my scotch and my coffee is pretty well out of bounds.
Well, as long as you got some water in that scotch.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how I can lower my heart attack chances. And I guess you already answered the question. I I don't suffer fools well, and the old lady tells me I should stop getting so pissed off at people, but...
Yeah, well, that, you know, we talked about that anger and repressed anger kind of things. It's a major risk, and that's a tough one, Joe, to solve. All right, just especially for us males. But you know, by nature, many of us are. You know, we find it easy to get mad, and I don't care. The issue is not getting angry or mad. The issue is holding it in. All right, and not forgiving, and that's where the real issue is. You know, the Bible doesn't say anything about getting mad. It says, don't let your anger stay overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line. And that, you know, and that's a very, very good advice. It's holding it in that really gets you. How old are you, Joe?
I'm 57.
57. How old did your father, was your father before he died?
He's still actually alive. He's 83. He's had two heart attacks, but he's nothing like me. I mean.
Yeah. Well, the thing that question... You're fairly young for heart attacks, but you know, but they do happen at this age. But when they happen with a young person, which does not have a genetic history, you know, if you came in, I have patients come in, and you know, father had his first heart attack at 55. He's got several other brothers that did at the same age, and uncles and aunts, and then the patient comes in at 52 with a heart attack. Well, that's a different story. There's a genetic issue often there, and we need, it's harder to win on those. But if you have a father that lived many, you know, old without with not early heart attacks, and you have a patient that comes in with early heart attacks, most often there are lifestyle issues that have to be addressed. And usually these are often everything from diet, personality, these issues with just lifestyle living, stress, anger, all of these things.
Could it be that because the first heart attack was brought on by a shock?
I kind of discount that kind of thing. The first heart attack occurred because of an inflammatory lesion that was in your in the vessel that ended up with a clot and occurring. And the issue, you know, the stress and anger and all of these things and a whole bunch of things can cause those clotting parameters to occur. But it's if you don't have those other things, if you have normal coronary arteries with no inflammation, no lesions in them, you can get vasospastic, what's called Prince Metal's angina, but the spasm of the arteries from stress, all right?
Okay.
You can have a normal coronary artery. A lot of people don't realize this, but you can have a normal coronary artery and... That artery from stress or whatever, usually very serious stress things, can go into spasm and can cause a heart attack. Those are rare, okay?
March 30th was the night that I found out that my son was killed in Afghanistan.
Really? See, that may be part of it. But those things you need to talk to your doctor, especially the cardiologist would let you know.
So I should get a cardiologist.
Oh my gosh, if you have not, you need a very good primary care doctor, and you need to have a cardiologist that needs to look at you. Because when you have a risk profile like this, Joe, if you came to the practice, I mean, literally, we would take you from, just be hard on you probably. I don't know for sure. I don't really know you, but there are just so many things that at that age that need to be looked at. I look at many times, this is a good Lord giving you a warning. You know, it's time to change some lifestyle things. And often that's what needs to be done. All right?
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Jazz.
You too, too. Take care, Joe.
Have a good one, brother.
Joe was born in Cuba and escaped in the 60s after the revolution. He has lived one hell of a life.
You know, one of the things that...
He has lived one hell of a life, this guy.
One of the things that's interesting, Jazz, is he mentioned about his scotch, you know. Actually, if the truth be known, a half a drink a day is better than not drinking for your heart and for your life. We don't like to say that too loud. But more than one drink a day is harmful, all right?
But maybe what I'm doing is I'm just building up for the time when I stop drinking all
the time. So you have all this... You know, it's interesting.
It's like money in the bank.
Yeah, the people come in and they'll tell me, "Oh, doc, I only drink six beer a week, but they're all on Saturday."
Yeah, right.
No, doesn't cut it. Doesn't cut it.
Let's get Nathan on here real quick. Nathan, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
I'm just fine.
We're doing fine, Nathan.
What do you got for us?
Well, I keep on forgetting to ask my primary doctor one question, even though I walk in with a list. My one question is. I got a fish oil pills off the internet, and I read on the back of the bottle it said, do not take if you're taking high blood pressure medication.
Okay.
Now, I haven't taken them, but I want to, but I don't want to hurt myself.
Okay,
I'm just curious.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about this. First of all, there are many of the things that they put on the many, these are sort of warnings that are sort of CYA kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But the real issue with fish oil is if you certain anticoagulants, it affects the coagulation of the blood, all right? And that's really probably the bigger issue. Number two is it depends on what type or the amount of omega-3s and essential fatty acids. For instance, the average fish oil capsule you buy has 3 to 6 omega-3s or essential fatty acids. There are some, many of the doctors take a fish oil called Omeprin that you can only buy online. It has 30 essential fatty acids, probably the best in the world. It comes from only one special place in New Zealand, and it's very expensive. But if you took that with a lot of certain medications, you have to be careful with reactions. But the average pill that you buy in the store with blood pressure medicines is not a real issue. It's when you get thinners and things like that you have to worry about. Okay?
You got that? All right. So he's clear. He's good to go.
Yeah. I think it's good to let the doctor know about those things, but I don't think it's a big issue.
Just take the bottle with him next time he sees his primary.
Well, we often have our patients that, they bring a bag of all their vitamins and
that's
all
what
their,
Laura
all
does
their,
everything
all
she takes. She goes to the doctor, she's got the
because
bag.
Because it is, especially with some of the nutraceuticals people use, you can have major effects. Major effects. We've had people come in, especially diabetes medicines. If you take certain diabetes, there's certain diabetes medicines you can buy out at the vitamin store that if you take the right doses and the right type, have equivalent effects as metformin. And if the doctor doesn't know it, I mean, it's just major issues can happen. I mean, seriously.
Wow.
And the public doesn't think that, those things. But it's important for the doctor to know. I mean, literally.
Never think that you're taking it because,
Just even aspirin, we use aspirin for heart disease, for clotting, and it's very good to take. It's strongly recommended. One aspirin, in fact, a baby aspirin, an 81 milligram aspirin, actually literally changes the ability of the blood to clot, Jazz, for 5 days. A baby aspirin.
Thank you for
five.
Reminding me. I ran out about 2 weeks ago, and I forgot to get some.
But it's a major change, and that's... That's very, very good.
I take one of those every single day.
After age 55, 60, males should take one a day.
Yeah, I've been for about 4 years now, three or four years, I guess, I've been taking it every single day.
A lot of people don't know this, but aspirin comes from an extract of the willow tree. Did you know? This is kind of, how should I say,
I know nonsense a little bit about the history of this because I think I saw something on History Channel about it.
Well, you can buy something called white willow supplements that on the over-the-counter in the vitamin store that is equivalent to taking an aspirin.
Really?
We don't recommend it.
Stick with the bear. That's going to do it for us this afternoon. The practice, give them a call. Dr. Mensink will be happy to see you, and they'll explain everything about the program, how it works. Prepaid family medicine with a difference. $69 a month is all you pay, and you can see the doctor at any time, and the staff got all kinds of good things happening at the practice. Call them at 871-3300, 871-3300, 871-3300. Doc, great to see you today.
It's good to see you, too.
I'll be seeing you later this week. I got an appointment with
you. Sounds good.
All right.